All of them.
Sandavega,
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 city
Yada,
Yada,
when
Partum,
Partum
to plunder,
to plunder
Arebire,
Arebire
began,
began
Tatra,
Tatra
there,
there
Pratyasheda,
Pratyasheda
defended,
defended
Prajagaraha,
Prajagaraha,
big serpent,
big serpent.
Translation, when King Gandharva Raj, Chandravega, and his followers began to plunder the city of Paranjana, a snake with 5 hoods began to defend the city. Report, when one is sleeping, the life air remains active in different dreams. The 5 hoods of the snake indicate that the life air is surrounded by 5 kinds of air known as prana, apana, jnana, udana, and samana. And the body is inactive, the prana or life air is active. After the age of 50, one can actively work for sense gratification, but after 50, one's energy decreases, although one can, to a strain, work for 2 or 3 more years, perhaps after the 55th year. Thus, the 55th year is generally taken by government regulations as the final year for retirement. The energy, which is fatigued after 50 years, is particularly described here as a serpent with 5 hoods. The five-footed serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Paranjana, fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they numbered 720. For a part, 360 days and 360 nights combined to become 720 soldiers of Chandravega. One has to fight these soldiers throughout one's lifespan, beginning with birth and ending with death. This fight is called the struggle for existence. Despite this struggle, however, the living entity does not die. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is eternal. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death, nor, having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is eternal, unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and from evil. He is not slain when the body is slain. Actually, the living entity does not take birth, nor does he die. He has to fight with the stringent laws of material nature throughout the entire span of his lifetime. He must also face different kinds of miserable conditions. Despite all this, living entity, due to delusion, thinks that he is well situated in sense gratification. Because he had to fight alone with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent with 5 hoods became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, King Paranjana and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious. Whereby the living entity resides within the body and struggles for existence with the limbs of the body, which are referred to as the citizens and friends. One can struggle alone with many soldiers for some time, but not for all time. The living entity within the body can struggle up to the limit of 100 years with good luck, but after that it's not possible to prolong the struggle. Thus, the living entity submits and falls. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung Ridakala Aula Sub Sukha Bhagava. When one becomes older, it becomes impossible to enjoy material happiness. Generally, people think that religion and piety come at the end of life, and at this time one generally becomes meditative and takes to some so-called yoga process to relax in the name of meditation. Meditation, however, is simply a farce for those who have enjoyed life and sense gratification. As described in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, meditation is a difficult subject matter that one has to learn from his very youth. To meditate, one must restrain himself from all kinds of sense gratification. Unfortunately, meditation has now become a fashion for those who are overly addicted to sensual things. Such meditation is defeated by the struggle for existence. Sometimes such meditative processes pass for transcendental meditation. King Paranjana, the living entity, being thus victimized by the hard struggle for existence, took to transcendental meditation with his friends and relatives. King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala, and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he did not understand that his life was passing away and he had, was reaching the point of death. Wherefore, government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries, and ministers, are all in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government men and those connected with government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries, and presidents, will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government's top heavy, and without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for sense gratification of government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. some of them are convinced that after life everything is finished. This atheistic theory was conceived long ago by the philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently, either begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death, the next life, past life, or impious life, because after the body is burnt to ashes, everything is finished. This is the philosophy of those who are too much materially addicted. Such philosophizing will not save one from the dangers of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. When King Gandhavaraj and his followers began to plunder the city of Paranj, the snake of 5 foot began to defend the city. The five-footed serpent, the superintendent and protector of the city of King Paranjana, fought with the Gandharvas for 100 years. He fought alone with all of them, although they numbered 720. Because he had to fight with so many soldiers, all of whom were great warriors, the serpent of the five footed became very weak. Seeing that his most intimate friend was weakening, King Paranjana and his friends and citizens living within the city all became very anxious. King Paranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchalan and was thus able to pay the age of sexual indulgence. Under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and he was reaching death. So here's described how King Paranjana, or the Jiva, was supported by Prana, or the life heirs, represented by the snake with five hoods, because the Prana is divided up into five main parts, which are mentioned here, Apana, Prana, Jnana, Samana, Udana. Of course, there's actually 10 life errors, but the principal ones are the five. And the snake, of course, represents this Prana. We see this also in the Kundalini. The snake, Kundalini is represented by a snake. So it's an energy force. So here we have a snake with five hoods representing the five types of prana. So as long as the pranas are functioning properly in the body, then the body is healthy and one can enjoy it. So this is what Paranjana was going to do. He was enjoying in his city for some time. But as is mentioned here also, from the very beginning, the soldiers of time were attacking. In other words, time passes and life gets shorter and shorter as soon as one is born. So the soldiers were always attacking, but as time went on, then eventually the prana had to struggle against these soldiers, which means that as one gets older and older, the prana becomes depleted and weaker, and of course what happens is there are irregularities and imbalance, and then because of this, the bodily functions don't perform properly, and then one gets sickness and disease and all sorts of things in old age. So this is due to the weakening of the prana in the body. Now the prana, of course, is material also, just like the mind and the intelligence. It is also a material thing, made out of vayu element. But it supports the body. Of course, the only living thing in the body is the jiva, and everything else is material. But to keep the jiva in the body functioning, that means, in other words, we have a live body, the pranas must function properly. So they are very necessary to support or interact with the material body to keep it connected with the jiva properly so the jiva can enjoy it. And when it starts misfunctioning, then we end up with a lot of problems. And then finally, when the prana leaves, the jiva leaves, they both leave together and then the body dies. So when the prana becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, it cannot maintain against the time, etc., then this means the body begins to get destroyed. And then finally, the prana leaves. So the prana is not destroyed, really, like the jiva, or the mind, or the subtle body. These things go with the jiva, but the body itself, the gross body, that is destroyed. So when it talks about the destruction of the city by Chandavega, this means that the material body began to disintegrate. But
that the pranas remain and the jiva remains and the subtle body remains. They're not really destroyed at all. They remain intact. But they must leave that particular body. So when the prana struggles against the force of time, etc., and then begins to weaken, cannot function properly, at that time then the body begins to disintegrate. So therefore the it's not possible to enjoy anymore in that body once it starts disintegrating. So as long as the prana maintains the body nicely, we don't think much about the passing of time. Yeah? So when one is young and healthy, one doesn't think too much about death. But after many years, then when the pranas begin to weaken and the body begins to misfunction, then one becomes aware of the fact that the body is getting old, one cannot enjoy it, and then one is going to eventually die. So this is a process which happens in all bodies. Science cannot prevent it. Somehow or other the body begins to disintegrate. They haven't got any means of actually preventing that yet. We see in Ayurveda the approach is a little different because we have things like pranas, etc. in the body which they recognize, but these aren't recognized in Western medicine, so it's very difficult for them to handle this fact of disintegration of the body. But here it's according to the pranas and how they function in the body. And so if they function properly, then one can maintain that life. So then the secret is to keep the pranas in good health. So that is why yogis can live a long time, because they discipline the prana. Of course, the prana they're operating with is the first one, called prana, not the apanajana, udana, and samana. But by controlling that the prana, that first breath, the breathing process, then this affects the other pranas in the body or the other areas in the body also. So therefore they're able to prolong the life and keep a healthy body and whatever for many, many, many years because of the controlling of the prana and keeping it in a good condition. So they can extend their life to some degree. But of course we know that even yogis have to die eventually. They have to also give up the body. So according to karma, whatever, they have to eventually leave the body. So one can, to some degree, prevent the aging process and whatever if one knows the proper techniques. But eventually, still, everyone has to leave the material body. The pranas, the subtle body, the jiva must leave and go to another body. It does not last forever. And that is the nature of the material world as it's constructed by the Supreme Lord. So we have bodies which live longer time, but David has lived for 71 yuga cycles or whatever. Manvantara periods, even Manu lives that long. Or Brahma lives for his whole lifetime. Their particular bodies are different, so they have those lifespans. But still, they have to give up those bodies. The jiva must separate from those bodies. So that is a law of the material world. So we cannot really struggle against this process. It becomes inevitable for all jivas according to the type of body they have. They have a certain lifespan and they have to give up that body. So the maximum you can do is adjust things to prevent as much sickness so we don't get sick, etc. And we can prolong the body to some degree, whatever, and not have a painful death. But still, ultimately, death must occur for all living entities, including Lord Brahma. So this is the nature of the material world, and therefore the Supreme Lord says that better we don't concentrate on prolonging our life or going to heavenly planets or going to Brahma Loka or whatever. Rather, we try to stop this process of taking bodies and living. But that's a complicated process because we have karma, and karma is very complicated, and normally we cannot destroy karmas. Except by experiencing them. And then the more we experience, the more activities we do, and the more we accumulate. So it's an endless process for the jiva in the material world. So the only way is by the processes outlined in the scriptures. So therefore we have dhyana, yoga, and bhakti to destroy the karmas of the living entity. And of that, the process of bhakti is the most effective. So this is, if you want to end this whole process, then bhakti is the recommended process. Now here, Paranjana is enjoying in this city, and because of his desire for enjoyment, then he gets another body in which he tries to enjoy. So Paranjana, the word means, Pura means city, and Jana means the person. And so he is the person who owns the city and he tries to enjoy in the city. So the jiva, by his nature in the material world, wants to take another material body so he can get some enjoyment. So this is material consciousness. We take a body, we try to enjoy it, and we get another body, and we try to enjoy it. So to get out of that type of conception is very, very difficult for the jiva on its own. And therefore we have the scripture to awaken people from this. So the story of Paranjana is there too, give such an awakening and show us the futility of identifying with the material body by proper knowledge. Well, the pranas are spread throughout the body actually, and they're different, they have different functions. But it's described one place in one Upanishad that somehow the jiva exists with the pranas somehow or other. So it's not really clear what that means, how it exists with the pranas or whatever, floating in the pranas or whatever, but somehow. If you take it figuratively, yes, it makes sense. That is that the jiva is the most subtle, and then we have the subtle body and the pranas, which connect with the gross body. So, therefore, it is via the pranas that the jiva interacts with the gross material body. Because they are a byproduct of Vayu, which is a gross element actually. But then we see that its transformation is the pranas, which are rather subtle. It's not classed as a separate element usually. It's not classed as a separate element, like mind or ego or whatever.
There are certain things which are not the prana yoga. So for example, you say sprouts and or near the ocean, the beach, there are a lot of pranas. What does that mean? That people there, you know, these pranas get nourished?
What that means is that if you take associate with those things, that the prana in the body is stimulated. So it's good for the health. It's everywhere. In one sense, it's just like we have the material elements everywhere, and ether is everywhere. So prana also is everywhere in one sense. But it's we can say it's not actually the same as the prana that functions within the body, because that is a specific structure and function within the body where it doesn't when it's outside. But we can say that when you contact prana and other things, then that stimulates your prana. So that's like food for your prana.
Well, when man or human being dies, the prana and the jiva leaves the body simultaneously.
Yeah. That will be described later on.
Maharaj, would it suppose to have a pure devotional service, then a pure devotional service? But how far is where to the Lord is okay, that the body is okay? So that, because if the body is not okay, we shouldn't go to the body. At least in the initial one, beauty is supposed to render beauty of the service.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are bodily problem in terms of disease and other issues, then it becomes really difficult to render beauty of the service. Because the mind is okay.
Yeah.
So how far is it okay to pray to the Lord?
Well, for performing service, it's okay.
How does the mind
barrel effect, it generally affects, sometimes it doesn't, or it's whatever. But
the problem here is in creation, why prana is not mentioned along with the subtle elements of
perception? Because it's byproduct of Vayu.
Oh.
It comes from Vayu, so it's included in it. It's not a separate element.
Kind of like the jiva and prana is simultaneously, and when it gets separated from jiva, when prana gets separated from jiva,
when it gets,
because of the time of death, prana and jiva
only if you get liberated, then the prana, the body, and the subtle body all separate.
Tomorrow being the passing of Haridas Prabhu. Haridas Prabhu attains Samadhi.